Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm. It's a call to worship, and we thank you for responding. We seem a little, I'm getting a little feedback, loud, is it? Okay, echoing. So we appreciate everybody. We appreciate Michelle and the team. Michelle's leading worship today. Amy's getting refreshed, so we welcome Michelle as she leads worship and pray refreshing on Amy as she's away. Her and Ron went up to see the colors, and so Amy miscalculated and thought the colors would be in prime last week, and she found out it'd be this week, so she said, I'm going to stay up there until they're in prime. So they're up there, but we want to just enter in this morning and take a few minutes to pray. The world is in prayer right now, a major intercession. And you know, over the years we've been hearing and taught, keep your eyes on Israel. And we're not talking just about the nation of Israel, but the people of Israel. But Israel is a key nation globally, and it's the center and the hub of Jewish worship and the Jews and Christianity and Muslims. And I just want to make sure you understand that what we're talking about when we pray, we're going to pray for Israel. There's a difference between the Arabs and Muslims. And so what's happening over in the Middle East right now in Israel is the Hamas. Hamas is a Muslim, not Arabs. And they're the extreme branch of the Muslims. So we're not saying that all Muslims are extremists. This is an extreme part of the Muslim religion. But right in the hub of Israel is the center of Christianity, Jewish worship, and also a Muslim. So right there, and if you haven't heard, is the breakout of war that started. It's been proclaimed war, assault by Hamas onto Israel, and taken several hostages. This morning I was hearing it's several hundred, that they don't know how many. But we want to pray, because we've been taught in the Christian faith to keep our eyes on Israel. And what's happening in Israel is also the timetable that we are in God's plan. And so we want to pray this morning. And what we like to pray, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Be real honest. I don't know how to pray about this. It's is this the beginning of the end? I don't know. But we know that something significant is happening right now. And we know the world is called to pray right now. And Christians and Muslims and Jews are all praying across the world. And so we're not only praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying for just an outpouring of just open the eyes of the hearts of all those that are involved as we pray. Open the eyes of the hearts. So we like to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but we pray in the Spirit. So if you're a believer and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're welcome to pray in the Spirit. If not, just join in with us and pray. And we're just going to pray over Israel right now. Pray over just an outpouring of God's presence. He's Jehovah Rapha, but he's also Jehovah, Lord Sabaoth, captain of armies. We're going to see that this morning. And we've been saying, you know, get ready, because the fall, we've been talking about the shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And so obviously the shaking's not over with, because they're still shaking on globally in the nations. And so we're in the midst of a move of God. And thank God that we can gather as believers and worship in spirit and in truth. So just let's just agree right now as we pray. Father, we come before you. We come boldly into the throne room of grace in this time of need. And we thank you that we cry out for mercy. Lord. We cry out for grace to be poured out upon the Middle East, especially Israel right now, Father. And Father, we make intercession. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but we pray, Father, with the Spirit on the inside. Move, Spirit of God. Captain of Lord of Hosts, move, Jesus. You are the Lord of Hosts. We lift up Israel this morning as we pray in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, you are their protector. We thank you. Father, we just agree right now with the body of Christ. We agree with heaven right now. We thank you. We agree with Jesus and Holy Spirit. And we lift up Israel right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. You're their protector. We thank you that you're not done with Israel or the people of Israel. Or even the Muslims, Father, and the nations that surround it. We thank you that in Jerusalem, Father, we have the center, Father, of worship right now. And we thank you that we pray right now. The eyes and the hearts of every person in Israel and the surrounding nations and Lebanon, Father, and Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia right now, Egypt right now, Kuwait, Jordan right now. We're praying right now, open the eyes of their heart that they would see the true Savior and Messiah Jesus right now. Open the eyes of their heart that they would see, Father, your plan of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so we thank you for revealing Jesus right now in the midst, Father, of this battle right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord Sabaoth, right now, reveal yourself. Release your ministering angels in the name of Jesus. And Father, we say and we pray for all those that have been taken hostage. Father, protect them right now. No, Father, shedding of blood right now. No loss of lives right now in this conflict in the name of Jesus. We're asking you right now, Father, and ask that your will be done right now in Israel and in, Father, the Middle East. And Father, awaken the nations of the world as, Father, you shake everything that can be shaken. And we thank you that you're establishing that cannot be shaken. And that is Jesus. He's the rock of our salvation. And so we thank you. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And we thank you. Establish that can't be shaken right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you honor. We give you glory. And now, Father, we say, inhabit the praises of your people. Come right now in the midst midst of the Father, our worship. Manifest Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, right now. We worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give them a shout of praise. Give them a shout. Yes. You're on the throne and we welcome you.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, joy is in you, Lord Jesus. Our joy is in you. I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children sing. Power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, and we trust them. Trust you, Lord. For we trust in our God. And through his unfailing love, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. Again, we trust you, Lord. For we trust in our God. And through his unfailing love, we will not be shaken. 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 For in the hour of our darkest day, we will not tremble, we won't be afraid. Hope is rising like the light of dawn. Our God is for us, he has shaken. All those against him, all those against him will fall. For our God is stronger, he can do all things. No higher name we can call, for Jesus is greater. We can do all things. All those against him will fall. For our God is strong.
Mighty men of valor, take up your weapons and walk in cadence with my spirit this day. The hour is short and there is work to be done. Just as a soldier is kind and respectful to civilians, stand your guard and be aware of your post. But walk aware of your behavior. But when it comes to the enemy, no longer lay down and take a back seat while he runs roughshod over your families in the area that you've been given charge over. Take charge. Take charge.
Yes.
Take charge.
Yes.
And serve
yes.
a mighty God,
yes.
Lord Sabaoth, the great I am. There is a call to action. Get ready. Know your station. Know who you are in me and who I am in you. And pray and seek my face in this hour like never before.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
all
Lord.
We say
yes, Lord.
All those against him will fall, for our God is stronger.
Take our place.
He can do all things. No higher name we can call, for Jesus is greater. We can do all things. All those against him will fall, for our God is stronger.
We will not be shaken. 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 We will not be shaken.
Our trust is in you, God. You are a consuming fire. Yes, Lord.
Our God is a consuming fire, burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom. We will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign.
Our God is jealous for his own. None could comprehend his love and his mercy. Our God is exalted on his throne, high above the heavens, forever he is worthy. And we will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you, so we can set our hearts on you. We will set our hearts.
Our God is a consuming fire, burning holy flame with glory and freedom.
Yes,
exalted, he is exalted on high, he is exalted. For great is the Lord, let all the nations say, exalted, he is exalted, exalted, he is exalted. Sounding before us
exalted. He is exalted. Blessing and honor.
Things you deserve.
deserve the glory. Yes, you do, Lord. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
All the things.
Glory, again you're worthy.
to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Let's keep singing.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
Yes, Lord, lift your hands right now and give them all the glory. Surrender yourself, spirit, soul, and body. Give them all, everything in you. He inhabits the praises of his people. So we give you everything in us. Gives you worship and honor and glory and blessing. We lift you up right now. Let's begin to lift up a sacrifice of praise. Begin to give them the fruit of your lips. Give them all glory and praise and power and blessing. We give you all honor. We lift your name high, for you are high and lifted up, and there is no one like you. You are King of glory, and you are awesome in this place, and we bless you. Everything in us gives honor to you, Jesus, Lord of lords and King of kings, and we bless you. We honor you. We worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Give them a shout. A shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Michelle, worship team. Thank you. Whoa, there's something about when you worship him. He's worthy of it all. I mean, we could stay right there. That's where it's at. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of it all. Amen. There's no God like our God. Amen. And we cannot be shaken. It's a choice. You know, it's a choice. I will not be shaken. Because I declare greater is he that's in me. If we believe it, we make those declarations. Amen. And we're bold. It's not arrogance. It's who we are. Amen. It's good to be back, and we're back. Yeah. Well, we got to join you in service every week, and we got to watch you online. Saw the back of your heads, most of you, and that are in this area right here. And but it's not the same, you know. As good as it is, the technology, the team, amazing job, the tech team, and the sound, and also the video. As we watch it online, it's amazing. And we just feel at home right there, but it's not the same as being here. And so thank you for staying in your place. Amazing word, amazing worship that comes out of this place, you know. As we listen to it, we think, wow, we entered right into worship there and just brought felt the presence of God come right into our room as we were sitting there looking at the ocean. Didn't get caught up with the ocean, but that's we're a reminder that he weighs the ocean in the palm of his hands. And I'm thinking, wow, what a big God he is. amazing God. And so we joined you in worship, and you got good word, not only worship, but the word that came. I'll tell you, I listened to not a lot of messages that come on, not YouTube, but church services, and it's strong here. You get the word, Prophet Susie, and you know, stomping in the streets, okay? We felt we were stomping in the streets right with you, and just the encouraging word that Prophet Susie brought, and then Don giving you just an update on G7D. I hope you were inspired what we're doing out there, and Don did a great job communicating the past, but also bring us into the future, and so where we're going. But we're involved. We're not just talking about missions. We're involved right in our Jerusalem and seeing the transformation. So I thank Don for sharing. And then last week on Romans chapter 1, boy, Mike just unpacked that. And I thought, whoa. And Val, you know, showing that eagle. I was so inspired with seeing that eagle. I knew that. And we had actually seen an eagle, my son and I, in a parking lot of Panera's in Farmington Hills a couple years ago. And we knew there was an eagle in the area, but to land on your dock and give a message to Val about she's got to be an eagle, not, what was it? It wasn't a chicken, was it? Was it a chicken? So anyhow, a good encouraging word. And thank you for just, we want to tell you that we started our biblical citizenship, and there's no charge for that. That's on Wednesday nights. It was powerful, again, as we're going through it for the second time. And you need to know your rights. You need to know the history of why you're in this nation and a citizen of the nation. So you don't have to hear every session. You can miss a session because every session holds a strength in itself. So we're going in the second week this Wednesday. It's 8 weeks. And I just love Rick Green and just his enthusiasm. And then we're going to also hear from David Barton. These guys talk so fast and download so much. I just come out of there bursting. You know, and so those that came Wednesday were excited, never heard about the monument in Massachusetts. And so many told me yesterday that they went and saw the movie or pulled up the movie. You can see it on Amazon Prime and pick up the movie on the monument that's in Massachusetts that talks about the history of our nation and our forefathers, that they came with a biblical mandate, that they first went to the Netherlands or Holland. They went there for 12 years of pilgrims to study biblical kingdom government before they came to this nation and establish it. And that's what our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights really addresses. And so it's based on biblical foundations. So we want to encourage you. It was just exciting to hear these guys. They're so full of history. And if you don't know our history, you don't know why we're here and the greatness of our nation. So we just want to encourage you on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And it goes about an hour and a half. Each video is about that. And Val and Mike are hosting that. So we want to encourage you with that. I know I got some other thing. Oh, I know. In 2 weeks, you don't want to miss this. And Apostle Linda's going to come and just give you an announcement on this. But in 2 weeks, we got the Heidlers coming in who wrote the book that we've been promoting about setting yourself free. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. I didn't know the message would be this in light be where it's gone in light of Israel and why we need to be clean.
Amen.
And so, I mean, we need to be clean.
Amen.
If we're going to move in the fullness of God in this hour, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And so if we want to see the Lord, we have to be clean, spirit, soul, and body. And Jesus paid the price for us to set us free in our spirit, man. Now it's our responsibility to keep that in order and not allow the enemy to come in so that we can fulfill our destiny and our call. And we're called for such a time as this. And things that are shaking, you know, you think, oh, in the future, don't put things off. Things are happening right now. We're in revival. We're in the midst of a move of God. God, you are the revival that's waiting to happen. I love that song that we sing, you know, revival that's waiting to break out. How's that song go? I'm not going to sing it. So that, you don't have to agree. Yeah. Heaven's breaking out. I'm good. That's good, Susie. She can sing it. Apostle Linda's saying, yeah, it's a good idea that I don't sing it. She said that right there. She said, no, that's a So, but you want to be here. The Heidlers are Chuck Pierce's apostle, Bob and Robert and Linda, Apostle Heidler, and he's a teacher. He's coming in and three days, Friday night. She's going to come, but we're going to give it. We're going to really, come on up and give it. I don't want to steal her thunder. Yeah.
I guess we're both so excited about it. So okay. Robert and Linda are coming in. And you know, it's been a while since we've invited someone from the outside to come in. So, you know, we don't do that just easily. First, all of us here, we have so many good people who can share the word here. But we know it's important to bring them in. And so they're coming in. I'm going to wave over here. Okay, they're coming in. And they'll come in on the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday night, 7 p.m. Saturday, it'll be at 9:30 till, I want to make sure I get it exactly right here. 9:30 till noon, and then we'll break for lunch. You can bring a lunch if you want. We won't be serving lunch, but you can bring a lunch or go out for lunch, and then at 1:30 to 3:30 on Saturday. And I do want to make note, there's no children's workers for this, or we don't have a children's ministry that will go on, so you'll need to determine about bringing children. But on Saturday afternoon, just a forewarning or for your information, they're going to talk about places where the enemy brings us into bondage because of sexual experiences. Some places where there's abuse or violations or soul ties and sexual aspects. Yeah. And so it's not a session that we would recommend bringing young children to. And then on Sunday, they will again speak and minister on Sunday at our normal time at 10 o'clock. But I did want to share something because we are offering the book. Many of you have already purchased the book, Setting Yourself Free. And it's still available. We have some more for $15. It'll be available after service for you to purchase. And it talks about things like, well, who is the enemy? And understanding, could I have any demonic activity in my life and issues? And how, if we do recognize that, to recognize, just like we sang today over and over again, making declaration, we are overcomers.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
God made us to be victorious, and how we can recognize the enemy's activity in our life and step in and stand above it. So I just thought today I would take one chapter and just give some highlights to give you a sense of what God wants us to recognize and deal with. And one of these, in chapter 9, it's resisting a God-robbing spirit. It says one of Satan's primary goals is to prevent you and I from experiencing God's goodness. Satan's a liar and a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal away the blessings God intends for you to enjoy. One of those ways is through poverty. Many Christians are so ensnared in poverty, they aren't able to fulfill their destiny in the earth. And it talks about, well, what is poverty? Robert is a teacher, and so he's going to teach us in these aspects. But it says, poverty is failing to become what God created and destined you to be. Are there any places the enemy holds you in bondage to that we're not able to step into what God created and destined each of us to be? Poverty is failing to believe the Lord can branch you into the fullness of his plan. We can be ensnared by fear, by unbelief, by limitations that God does not intend for us to have. And God intended, he has set us free, but he set us free for freedom, that we'd walk in freedom. Poverty is when you conform your circumstances to the world's blueprint for your life. So poverty is a strategy of Satan. The enemy wants to hold you in lack so you can't move forward in the Lord. Any time you are prevented from moving toward your destiny by a lack of funds, it could be because of the influence of the spirit of poverty. And if that influence is there, we can work and break that spirit of poverty and be set free so that we walk in freedom. And that's God's intent for each of us, that we walk in the fullness of freedom. And so it says the Bible teaches that poverty is not God's will. It's not God's gift. It's not a blessing. It does not help us become godly. So most godly men and women God in the Bible were wealthy, successful people. God's will is for you to walk in joy and thankfulness for his abundant provision and to be enabled to fulfill the purposes we're created for. God's word promises, and you'll find that the teachings that are brought forth and the ministry brought forth by the Hodlers is very word-oriented, such as in his book. Deuteronomy 28:47 tells that God wants his people to serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Psalm 34:8-9 gives this wonderful promise. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Those who fear him lack nothing. Promises for abundant provisions are found throughout the word. In the New Testament, we find an incredible promise in 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be made rich in every way. You and I, this is what the word promises. We'll be made rich in every way so we can be generous on every occasion. If we are walking in poverty, God wants us to know it's not his will. Deuteronomy 28, 39, 45. God gives a detailed description of poverty, then tells us in no uncertain terms, poverty is a curse. And so this time as we gather together, we're going to experience the opportunity to recognize, I didn't realize that was a place the enemy had hold of me. I didn't realize that's a place of limitation. That's a mindset or from an experience or from an old teaching that holds me in a place of limitation and curse. And we're going to be able to be set free. And so I just encourage you to come, encourage you to be ready to step into greater freedom, to come with an open heart and mind and let God work in us, and encourage each other to be able to step into that freedom. It's not a place, time of pointing fingers or condemnation, but a place of exaltation of the Lord and the work of his spirit and celebration with one another as we walk in freedom. So please come on October, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd. There's no charge for it. Please come and be here. And I'm certain we will not be sorry. I mean, God has quickened us to know to bring these people in to minister, and he quickened us for this time in this season. It's a time because God has such a fullness for us to step in, such a greater place to expand into, and he said, I'll not have you limited in any way. I'll not have you hindered. I'll bring revelation, and I'll bring a working of my spirit so we all can freely step into that greater measure. You're with me in it, aren't you? Yes.
Okay. If you didn't pick up a book, there's books available. You have 2 weeks. Don't go through them fast. And it's not saying that it's just for those that think they're carrying a demonic. There's mindsets and there's sins of the flesh that kind of set strongholds in our lives. And so it's a time of breaking every stronghold and coming clean before the Lord. So we invite you. The books are available today. We have them. Just kind of pick up the teaching so that you come in. Invite people, not just those that you think need deliverance, but invite those because they don't know what they need right now. And so the world is crying out for answers. So Amen. We just want to encourage that. We're going to pray over the offering. I'll let you know that our breakthrough funds, and you've been very generous over the years. We've always had a surplus in our breakthrough funds, which helped with gift cards to Audis, and also helping with different needs, housing things, utility bills, and that. Laura informed me as she went on vacation, she said that for the first time our breakthrough fund has been depleted because there's so many needs, and we want to continue to meet the needs of people. So the breakthrough fund is like an alms. It goes to helping people in times of struggles, job changes, or just need assistance with food. We supply the cards because the cards, everybody's got to have food. And you take what you spend for food and pay a utility and use the card to buy your food. So we want to encourage you that when you're giving and you mark on your envelope breakthrough, that's a breakthrough fund, and that's above the tithe, that's an alms. And we want to continue not only to bless those in the house, but we bless those in the community and the outside. And so thank you for your generous giving over the years. And so I just want to let you know so that you're aware of that. You can give online. People are saying, hey, they're getting more comfortable online. It's easy. You can give online. You can mail it in. You can give the envelopes in the pew and put them in the boxes on the outside. We don't often receive an offering in the service here. Just to remind you, that's your responsibility to bring the tithe into the storehouse of God and the offering. But thank you for your generosity. Starting in November and December, we do promote breakthrough funds because we want to give during the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas to those that might be struggling. So Father, we thank you for the joy of giving. We thank you that, Father, we thank you that you're the provider of all things. And so with it, we're acknowledging that you're Lord over our finances. And we thank you that, Father, you meet our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so we thank you right now, Father, that we choose to be obedient, to be a tither, Father, and a giver, Father. So we thank you that we want to be a blessing. And so we thank you. As we're blessed, we can be blessed and a blessing. So we thank you and honor you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Before we get in the message this morning, you know, I never thought of us being a congregation like in Florida where they have, or Arizona where my parents lived. They had a lot of the, you know, people that go for the winter down there. Well, it was called the
Snowbirds.
Well, I thought, well, people go down there and they spend five, six, seven months down there. I never thought us as a congregation up here that we have snowbirds that go to the south and then spend 5 or 6 months. But we have one of our members that's not going for that purpose. But Arlene, why don't you come on up? Arlene leaves this Wednesday for 5 or 6 months till next May, and she's going to the Philippines on a mission assignment, and she's going with her sisters, and she started a ministry over there in the Philippines. And you know that we gave, and the children's ministry was able to bless those with shoes and food. But over the years, Arlene's been sowing in her nation of the Philippines, and her aunt and her mother and them have left properties, and she's developing that. So she's going to settle some things. She's going to Seattle this Wednesday, meeting her sister. One of her sister from Canada, will join them in November and over in the Philippines. But she's on assignment, and so she's not a snowbird, but she's going to be gone for 5 months, and we're going to miss Arlene, but we want to cover her right now and just let her know that we love her. We're sending her on an assignment, missions. I said, on my bucket list, I got the Philippines on my bucket list, and along with a few other nations. I'll have to just do a world trip. But let's stretch our hands as a covering right now, and we cover Arlene right now, Father. We cover her as the ecclesia. We cover her as an apostolic people. And Father, as the body of Christ, many members, and we thank you that Arlene is an important member of this particular body. And so, Father, we thank you that we lay hands on her. And Father, we pray a hedge of protection upon her right now as she travels, as her sisters, Father, she meets with them, and her aunt, Father. We thank you there's a preparation of a work in the Philippines that you've already ordained, that they've sown much into the seed, Father, and now's the time of harvest.
Yes.
And so, Father, we send apostolically and prophetic Arlene right now, Father. We cover her with a hedge of protection. Your ministering angels go before her, and no harm or injury can come against her right now. As she travels and she connects, Father, with those that she needs to connect, thank you that you're preparing hearts of those she has yet to meet.
Yes.
And we thank you that even as her aunt, Father, hands over these two churches to them right now, they'll know how to, Father, sow into it. They'll know how to raise up, Father, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists right now,
yes.
Father. We thank you that now is the time for harvest in this ministry that is sown so much seed into. And so we send Arlene right now.
Yes, Lord.
We send her into, Father, this assignment with great joy, and we cover her right now, that your hedge of protection is over her, and that you make a provision for every need. We say, Father, abundant of resources right now be released to Arlene, to her sisters. Bless her aunt right now, Father.
Yes,
she transitions these things over to her daughters and,
yes,
and Father, her nieces in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
And Arlene, you'll write to us, won't you?
Pardon me?
Email us.
Yes.
So, and tell us what we can be praying for so that we can stand with you. And
yeah. The major thing is I want you to pray with me because, like Apostle Linda said, there's a lot of poverty in my country.
Yeah.
You know, majority is poverty in the natural, poverty in the spiritual. It's, you know, a Christian country is a small fraction of Muslims and other religion, but the biggest percentage of Catholic are in my country. And the poverty mentality affects their faith, you know, and that's one of our projects that we're going to be doing there. We're going to help them to find a way to create jobs, create something to, you know, make income so they can pay their tithes, because paying the tithes is attached to laboring. And that should be in the first fruit of their labor is to give, you know, to give to the Lord. And that's one of the major problems. They can't give to the church because they don't have the means, you know, and the church are hurting. You know,
so,
yeah, they can't function. So that's one of the things, but it's more than that.
We send you as the evangelist.
Yes.
And more than that,
you.
You're anointed. So go
yes,
in
amen.
The power of his might and strength.
Yes, amen.
Be strong in the Lord in Jesus' name.
Yeah. And I thank for this church that this is where I'm equipped. I was trained here and I received everything through Apostle Bob and Apostle Linda and all the leaders. And I believe that, you know, I am equipped. And we even talk about helping the pastors there to baptize the people there. So I'm so excited about that, you know.
Okay. Well, amen.
Thank you.
Wow. Look out, Philippines. Look out. Well, we've sown much, and even some in the congregation, Pastor Jeff and Nina have sown in the Philippines, and Chris and Michelle, I know, are going back and forth now to the Philippines. So we as a congregation have not only sown finances, but we've sown people in there. And so it's time to see the Philippines break out and harvest and break out and revival in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, yesterday, one of the ladies at Connecting Point, I know Christina, I don't see her here today, but boy, Christine, is she here? I see Virgil out there, but boy, she brought a powerful message as I was listening. Wow. Just because it was yesterday that I can remember it real good, because I was sitting out in the hall. I came in to eavesdrop, and it was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. She said, be strong in the Lord. And she emphasized in the Lord. Don't just be strong in yourself, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so much of what we do is outside of Him. It's our own strength. And so she just hammered that Jesus is the centrality of everything we do. If you say, what's our answer? It's Jesus. And she said, be strong in the Lord. Make sure you're in the Lord in this day and this hour, and that you're strong in the power of His might. And I like the little illustration she gave of her granddaughter that said, no, 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 no. Everything that's not of God, it's no, no, no. Amen. So be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You we're living in a time, Father, where we need to hear accurately and clearly Your word. That, Father, we can't veer to the right or the left. We must stay in the centrality of Christ in us. And so we thank You right now that our eyes are focused on Jesus, knowing that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And what You start, You will finish. And so we want to make sure that we're in Christ in this journey. We want to stay on that path of righteousness that's just like the dawning of a day that's growing brighter and brighter until the full day in the return of Jesus. So we thank You for Your word this morning. I believe, Father, that You've given us a word, a now word, in the light of everything that, Father, is going on. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And in light of that, we thank You that we cannot be shaken, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. So I thank You and praise You right now in Jesus' name for Your word and watching over it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let me give you this scripture to start off and then just build on this. When we go on vacation, it's a refreshing time, and I'm always just pressing in, Lord, what do You want us to bring back? And He just gave me one word. This was a scripture, Colossians chapter 1. And so that you don't get mixed up, it's up here, Christ in you, the hope of glory. People are looking for hope. And the hope is on the inside of you. Yeah. And the hope is Christ in you. Yeah. And you're in Christ. Amen. So I want to just lay this out. The only scripture He told me and the only thing He said, just share that Jesus is the answer. Yeah. Christ is centrality. And I keep hearing that over and over again as I'm listening to messages. We met with a couple of our friends from Isaac, Trevor and Mario, while we were down there. And it was just like, man, they're preaching the same thing. Things. What's going on? This morning I listened to a brief message out of Malaysia, and Ross, a friend of ours from New Zealand, was given the message. And I thought, I looked at Apostle Linda, I said, okay, I got it, Lord. He says, how many witnesses do I have to give you? I mean, He gave the exact same scriptures that I'm going to share today. I says, how's Holy Spirit do that from a guy that's in New Zealand who's now preaching in Malaysia? Do it last night, the same Sunday, 12 hours before I... And I thought, okay, I get it, Lord. It's You, Holy Spirit. Amen. He's speaking, and I just keep hearing it confirmed. So that's what I want to share with you this morning. But first, the scripture that He said, make sure that Jesus is the centrality, is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. And Paul says this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And he tells you fully what the preaching of the word of God is in the next verse. I love scripture because sometimes we make up the definition of what we think it says. And we don't always read the whole context of scripture, because scripture will interpret scripture. That's the best way of get a revelation or get a definition, is let scripture give you the definition. Don't Google everything. Google the Bible. Get in the Bible. So this is what he says. I fully carry out the preaching, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word. That is, so he's telling you what the preaching of the word is. That is the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has manifested to his saints. If you're a believer in Jesus, this is the message that should be manifesting in you right now. He's not given everyone a different message, although we have different assignments, but we have the same purpose and the same manifestation of what we're to be doing. And he tells us right here, the preaching of the gospel. What is the preaching of gospel? This is it. It's the mystery that was hidden. In verse 27, he says this, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody is looking for hope. There's only one place you can find hope that satisfies. And that's in Christ. And where is Christ? He's in you. So the hope that the world is looking for is not a God that's sitting up in heaven. He's looking for a Christ that's manifesting in and through your lives. That's why the devil wants to shut you down. Because if he can shut you down, he can shut your assignment and your message down. That's why we need deliverance. Some of us are being held back, not just because of demonic forces, but because of flesh, mindsets. I was reading the last couple of chapters, and he was talking about that some of us have been Christians for so long that we don't even know what's settled in us. And he says that the devil is kind of like, first of all, he says it's like he's a serpent. And instead of having our armor on, it's like going in the Everglades in your shorts and your flip-flops. Because in the Everglades, you got snakes and scorpions and spiders and all these poisonous things. And no one goes in the Everglades in their shorts. But yet in the spiritual, we don't go into this warfare with the full armor of God. And so we get bitten by serpents. But then he says there's other things over time that are like leeches. See, serpents are on the outside that bite you, but leeches are what gets in your flesh. It gets in you. And then he says that if it stays long enough, it becomes like a parasite. And he's talking about some things we've dealt with so long that it's just common and familiar with us. It's become a parasite, and that parasite keeps us from manifesting the hope of God and Christ in us. It keeps our testimony locked up. And the world is waiting for us to come out. You are a revival waiting to happen. And the devil wants to keep you shut up. And God wants to set you free. So he says this is it. He says the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations past, but now has been manifested to his saints. So you're a saint if you're a believer. Some people think I'm disqualified. I'm not a saint. You don't know why. No, Jesus paid the price for you, and he declared that you are righteous, that you are a saint. So if you're a believer, you confess Jesus as Lord of your life. The Bible says you're part of the body of Christ, and you're a saint. Say, so you don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, but I know what he's done. And he's bought you with a price. And he shed his blood. And he's declared you are holy and righteous. Are you getting this? So the enemy is feeding you the lies. Don't get your identity from the enemy. In whom Christ willed to make known. So this is the message that we need to be preaching. It's the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him. This is the gospel, proclaiming him. Not your testimony, but proclaiming Christ. It's kind of like going to Sunday school. No wonder we need to have faith like a child. When you go to Sunday school, and I remember doing that, every answer was Jesus. Because you didn't know anything. So you just said Jesus. In essence, having childlike faith, we need to know every answer is Jesus. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And not only is he in you, but you're in him. So be strong in the Lord, in him. Don't get outside of him. Keep the battles on the outside. I was sharing with the life group yesterday. I was sharing that Dr. David shared, once you get free, keep the battle out here. It's harder to get rid of the parasites on the inside than to deal with the bite. When you get bitten, you can go get the serum that will heal you. But once that thing becomes a leech on the inside, those leeches, man, you ever had a leech on you? They say, burn it off. But it hurts. But the longer you allow things to deal, it becomes a parasite. The harder it is to get out. But once you get it out, it's easier to keep it out. So the war, keep the war on the outside. Don't allow it inside. Because if it gets on the inside, it will fester and become a stronghold. Does that make sense? Yep. So that's what this weekend's about, to get you set free. Once you get set free, then it's your responsibility, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and now he's given you the same authority. Amen. So keep things out. Once you get set free, keep them out. Amen. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man and woman with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. So the message is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you present Christ, it's to set them free so that they can complete their mission and their assignment in Christ. People are waiting for their assignment. But before they can get their assignment, they got to be set free. And what's the answer? Jesus says, I'm going to put Christ in you. Yes. I think of the scripture that says, if the demons knew God's plan, you talk about a surprise attack. They thought they had him when they put him on the cross. They thought when he went in the grave, they had him. Little did they know that when he was in the grave, his spirit man went to the depths of hell, conquered death and hell, and took the keys. He stripped Satan of his authority, stripped him. And the resurrection from the grave, that his plan was to have others just like him. They would have been content with one Jesus. But now all of a sudden they got many that have Christ in them. All of us have Christ in us. So now they got to contend with all of us. Woo. This is only, I'm not even in the part where I'm supposed to get. I'm just telling you, the centrality of all that we are exist for is Christ. Christ in us. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Amen. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. Be strong in the Lord. And in his power. Make sure you stay in the Lord in these times. Yes. Now I'm going to do this message out of the Passion. And so they can make the transition over here. We've heard a lot about this scripture. I hear Prophet Susie with First Fruits a lot. I heard it by a lot of other people right now. It's a hot message. And I believe it's a now message. And it's Psalm 24. And so I want to take you, because Psalm 24 is in three parts. Sometimes we just take one part of Scripture and we miss the whole thing. Sometimes the subtitles mess us up. We think, okay, that subtitle and that's the subject, but then we don't pick it up and get the whole context. So I'm going to do Psalm 24. Because if you understand Psalm 24, you're going to understand who we are in Christ. You're going to understand what our assignment it is and where we are in God's plan. So in the Passion, it says the King of Glory, David's prophetic praise to God. And the very first subtitle is Creation's King. If you don't get these first two verses, the rest of it won't mean anything to you. He lays this out because all through Scripture, this is the key for walking in victory. This is the key for walking in authority. And this is what it says. Yahweh claims the world as His. Everything and everyone belong to Him. This is the key to understanding all Scripture. He is, and that word, sovereignty of God. We've heard a lot about, so what does sovereignty mean? So sovereignty means supreme being, supreme above everything else. So He's supreme authority. There's no other authority but Him. He's supreme. If you don't settle that He is supreme and that He's Lord over everything else, in fact, it uses the word Yahweh, and as I looked up Yahweh, that's the Hebrew, but in the New Testament, you translate what Yahweh is and it's Lordship. It means that when you confess Jesus as Lord, He becomes supreme over every area of your life. If you don't acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus, you don't get saved. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And you believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead and you shall be saved. So you must confess the Lordship of Jesus. That's the sovereignty of God. If we don't settle that He's sovereign, He's supreme over everything else. Why is He supreme? It says Yahweh claims the world is His. He's supreme because whoever creates is the owner. And whoever creates is not only the owner, but he gets the name. So in Genesis, He said, let there be light, and there was light. He was the creator in Genesis chapter 1. Because He's supreme right now, creator. He's supreme over all authority. You say, but it doesn't look like it. It doesn't matter. He's supreme. He's declared it. He's claimed it. And all through Scripture it says He created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And that's settled. He's supreme authority. He's the ultimate authority in the earth. It doesn't matter what the governments are doing, what they're saying. His government is supreme. So the Lordship of Jesus must be evident in our life. If we don't acknowledge Him as supreme and Lord over our lives, then we're going to have trouble with the issues that Satan brings against us. So this is what he says. Yahweh claims the world is His. He not only claims, it is His. So I really have odds with the Passion on that. I love the Passion, but he doesn't claim it. It is His. He did it. He created heaven and earth. And He created everything in it. So it's His. Everything and everyone belong. I'll tell you what, in America, we have an issue when we say, I'm under submission to someone. I'm not under submission to anyone if you're American. I don't submit to. That's one of the issues we have, because He says He's Lord over your life. He's not coming as your co-pilot. He's not flying with you and letting you be the pilot. He's coming as the pilot, and you're submitting to Him. Everything and everyone belong to Him. He is supreme, ultimate authority. There is no one above Him. You got this? In the heavens or on the earth, it doesn't matter. He's supreme. And I love what he does. He says, he's the one who pushed back the oceans to let the dry ground appear, planting firm foundations for the earth. So we talk about firm foundations that are established because he is final authority. I love going to the ocean, watching the ocean, because when I watch the ocean and I read a scripture out of the New American Standard. Well, let's do that right now. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Throughout Psalms, you see that he's the creator and he is Lord Supreme. But in Psalm 103, it says this in verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. You got that? So there's the word sovereignty. His sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all the works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But I love this, that the angels hearken unto the voice of the command of God. Even that all the angels recognize his supreme authority. And when you speak his word, they're listening to hear his word, his voice. And they hearken unto his voice, even if it's coming out of your mouth. That's why it's important when you're praying, pray the word. When you're speaking, speak the word. Because the angels and the heavenly host are listening for his word and hearken unto his voice. But I love what it starts off. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, but because of that, he is sovereign and rules over all. Heaven and earth, all authority is not only his, but he has given it to us. Amen? Amen. So let's stay in Psalm 24 because I'm so excited to get ahead of myself. What I want to say is settle that he is Lord. Settle the lordship in your life. If there's areas in your life that you haven't made him Lord, you better get it right now, because time's moving too fast. And he goes on to say this. He asks this question, who comes before the king? That's the subtitle here, and it's a question mark. It says, who then is allowed to ascend the mountain of Yahweh? I like this because it's in the New American Standard, it says, who is allowed to ascend into the mountain? There's a difference from ascending up the mountain and into the mountain. Amen. I want to say there's something different about going higher than going deeper. He wants us not only just go higher in revelation, he wants us to go deeper. He wants us to go into the mountain of the Lord. He wants us to go into Christ. He doesn't want to just have this, you know, a lot of information that's exterior, outside. He wants us to know the Christ on the inside of us. He wants us to go deeper, not just higher. The deep cries on to deep. I heard this message from Ross this morning. Deep cries on to deep. Well, where is the deep? Christ in you, the deep. So he not wants you just to go higher in revelation. He wants you to go deeper. And so it says, who? He asks this. Who then is allowed to go into the mountain of the Lord? And who has the privilege of entering into God's holy place? I love in Hebrews where it says, come boldly into the throne room of grace in the time of need. We're allowed because of the blood of Jesus. The veil has been rent. And no longer just the high priest can go in, but we as priests of God get to go boldly into the throne room. When you go into prayer, do you come boldly or do you just kind of come stand at a distance? He wants us to come boldly. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to tell us how to do that in just a minute. But he asked the question this morning, who can ascend into the mountain of the Lord? Your answer better be, I can. Don't be looking around and say, well, they can. Say, I can, because I'm a believer in Jesus. And I can come into the Holy of Holies. And then he answers the questions. Those, and this is really critical, those who are clean, whose works and ways are pure, whose hearts are true and sealed by the truth, those who never deceive, whose words are sure, they will receive Yahweh's blessing and righteousness given by Savior God. They will stand before God, for they seek the pleasure of God's face, the God of Jacob. There's two things of righteousness, and we're going to have to get this right, church. When you get born again, you are the righteousness of God. That's a positional truth. He's cleansed you of all sins, past, present, and future. But now he's given you authority to exercise and keep that righteousness alive in your life. That's why the devil's out to kill, destroy, and steal. You open yourself up through sin. You open yourself up and let the guard down in your armor. The enemy can come in. So it says, clean hand. In fact, the New American Standard says, he who has clean hands, that's your outward. And a pure heart, that's your inward. We got to get it right where our inward and our outward are together. We're not double-minded. We know we're the righteousness of God on the inside, but what we're manifesting on the outside doesn't speak that righteousness. We got to hate what God hates. And we got to love what God loves. We can't be double-minded. So I am the righteousness of God. And now he's given me authority to exercise that righteousness in the areas of my life, in my conversation, in my thoughts. Are you there? There's an inner righteousness that's the blood of Jesus that gives you right standing. It gives you authority. But now you're to execute that authority and bring everything else into submission. He's coming with for a church without spot and wrinkle. Come on. Clean hands. That's our walk in life. And a pure heart. That's our relationship. And out of that relationship of the Christ in us, we walk that walk that brings glory to his name. So he's talking about this. Then he says, they will receive Yahweh's blessing, or the blessing of sovereign God. Now the next part, I've given you the two, now you move into the third, and that's one I want to focus on, because I'm excited about this. I've heard Prophet Susie, but I've hearing everybody talk about this. Because the year in the Hebrew is 5487, and I'm not going to do that teaching because I don't do that. Chuck Pierce does that. You know, others, they take that Hebrew year, and we just entered into this year 5487 by the Jewish calendar. 5487, and the 8 is the voice. So God's voice has been emphasized over the last few years. But the 4 in 84, the 4 is door or gate. So I want to talk about this as we go in this. He starts off by saying this, so Passion says it so good. So wake up. That's all I heard when I was walking the beaches and watching the ocean. I says, Lord, what am I supposed to tell the congregation when I get back? He says, wake up.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians says, wake up. So he emphasizes this twice. Before we can move into this revelation, we got to wake up. The enemy has lulled us asleep in our activity or our struggles or our circumstances or our situations. We say, I can't, you know, the enemy wants to put you to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
I want to tell you that, you know, what happened in Israel, they said, is very unusual to Israel. They were caught off surprised. It's never happened to them because their intelligence is so good. They brought it on their Sabbath day, and it happened to be on the 50-year celebration of Yom Kippur War 50 years ago. It was the day after that, but it was on the Sabbath. They caught them off guard. The enemy's strategy is to catch you off guard.
That's right.
He wants to lull you to sleep and say, well, good, I'm saved, and I know when it's my time, I'm going to heaven. I'd like to share with you, a little bit about the scripture. The Lord told me on our vacation to read the Psalms. So I just started reading Psalms, but I got stuck in Psalm 39. Well, I got stuck in Psalm 39. It says, basically, you know that your time is short. I'm thinking, oh yeah, my time's short compared to how it was 50 years ago, 70 years ago. But compared to eternity, your time is short. It doesn't matter what your age is in the natural. Compared to eternity, your time is short. But it basically said, make sure your activities in the passion and your energies line up with what God wants you to do. In other words, finish your assignment. And so we had to start evaluating. We're talking about, wow, do I got activities that are draining my energy?
Come on.
To keep me from doing what I need to be doing. Activities that aren't bad, they're good activities. One of the things I don't like about going to Florida is there's too many retired people. And I love going on vacation, but I don't like looking at all the retired, and these are people that have no purpose. They're just trying to have fun, trying to just make their life to get through. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, it doesn't matter where you are, put a guard over your activities so it doesn't drain your energies for fulfilling your purpose and your assignment in God. It doesn't matter where you are, the latter part of your life can be greater than all the other parts. He's not through with you yet. Amen?
Amen.
That's a side note. Let's get back. So wake up. And this is what it says. You living gateways, lift up your head, you doorways of eternity. So if this is a year of doors and gates, doors and gates, are entrances or exits out. I was thinking as I was reading this time and time again on vacation, I would come out of our condo and you have to go by the pool and go through a gate to get on the beach. When you got through the gate to get on the beach, it was different than the side of the pool. Gates are entrances. So what he said, wake up, you living gateways. You need to know what you're a gateway for. And you know what? He started talking to me about doors and gates. And he says, the trouble is that, we know Jesus is the door in John chapter 10. But this is talking about you're also a door and a gateway.
That's right.
He's already opened the door for you to come in to his fullness. Now he's saying you got to open up some gates and some doors. And the trouble is, most of us, we just kind of looked through the door. We cracked it open and just looked. And you're going to see in a minute, he's not talking about this kind of. Some of you, we look, oh, that's too much. I just want to peek, Because, if I know too much, if you open the door wide, you ever get pulled in? But some of us don't want to open the door. Look at what it says. Lift up your heads, you doorways of eternity. So look what it's saying. You're a doorway of eternity.
That's right.
Not only when you receive Jesus does he put eternity in you, but you're a doorway for others to experience eternity. Christ in you. So the doorway you are, the doorway Jesus has opened up for you, is so that you would be a doorway for others to experience eternity. So he says, lift your heads, you doorways of eternity, welcome the King of glory, for he is about to come through you.
Amen.
So we're not talking in this one about Jesus, although he is the ultimate. But once he's in you, you need to open up the doors of your heart.
Yes.
Quick cracking that door and getting a little glimpse and say, "Woo, you know, I'm excited about that." He wants you to, I'm getting ahead because it tells you how to do it. You ask, "Who is the King of Glory?" But I love this. He is about ready to come through you. Yeah. Wake up, church. Yeah. We're waiting for the next evangelist, the next Billy Graham. We're waiting for the next, you know, ministry of healing. We're waiting for the next Bonky. We're waiting for the next Kenneth Hagin. Did you know they've all been here and laid a foundation, sown seed, but none of them are still on the earth? He's looking for the next one that's going to take it even further. He's looking for you and I. So open up the doorways and the gates of your heart, because you are the doorway of eternity. You are the hope of glory that the world is looking for.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes.
You ask, "Who is the King of Glory?" Yahweh armed and ready for battle.
Yes.
Yahweh invincible in every way. Woo, he's invincible in every way. That means he's in you. You're invincible.
Amen.
I mean, the Old and New Testament ones who were martyred for their faith, they knew they were invincible. They didn't hang on to this natural life because they knew there was a greater life after. They had eternity on the inside. So you're invincible.
Amen.
So what did he say again? You're invincible in every way. So wake up. I'm telling you, church, it's time to wake up.
Yes.
You living gateways and rejoice. Notice what it says. You living. Are you a living gateway?
Yes.
Or have you got your gate of your heart shut?
Yes.
He's saying, wake up, church, it's time. And he tells us, fling wide.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Just fling that door open.
Yes.
Let the King of Glory come out. He's in you. Let the King of Glory, what he died for, come out of you. The world is waiting for you. And it may not be the nations. You may not go to the Philippines or anywhere outside of this, but your world needs you. It's waiting for you. And you have eternity on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's saying now, you gateways of eternity, you doorways, fling wide. I'm telling you. If you want to get excited about life, you got to get involved in what he's involved in. And he's saying, swing wide. Fling wide, you eternal doors. Here he comes. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. Oh, isn't that good? When you fling wide open the door, he'll come in. You know, we've used that scripture in Revelation 3:20. He stands at the door and knocks.
Come on.
He's knocking on doors. He's saying, awake right now. He's knocking on doors, and he doesn't want you just to crack it and say, "Oh, who is it?" It's not like when you open the door, it's a salesman or something. You put your foot in the door so it doesn't get open too far. He's saying, get your foot out of the door. Swing wide. Those doors. Because the King of Glory is about ready to come in. And we're looking for the King of Glory to come in from the external. And he's saying, I'm coming and I'm bursting out from the inside of my people who are made in my image and likeness. I'm waiting for them to swing wide their gates and to come out. Let me come out. Quit holding Christ hostage.
Amen.
Woo. So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you eternal doors. Here he comes. I like that. Woo, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming through me. He's coming through you. He's coming through us together. Amen. He's filling his church. That's why it says, is any thirsty? How thirsty are you for this? Is any thirsty? Let him come and keep coming and keep drinking and keep drinking so that when you're filled, out of your belly begins to flow rivers of living water, that everywhere the river goes, everywhere you go, it's bringing life. It's setting the captives free. That's what you've been anointed. That's what you and I have been anointed for. It's such a time as this. There's no greater time than now. Faith is always now. So are you in the now of God? He's saying, fling wide. Wake up. There's something going on. Don't go to sleep on, not on my watch. I heard the kind of the message that came this morning that Debbie brought. There's something about being on our watch. Not on my watch. Amen. Amen. Fling wide, you eternal doors. Yes. Here he comes. Who? He comes. The King of Glory. Yes. The King of Glory is his fullness.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's put Christ in us, and he's filling us up with revelation, knowledge, and wisdom. He's put Christ in us.
Yes.
Not so that we can just, you know, grow in him, but so that we can burst out.
Yes.
You talk about a surprise attack. The devil doesn't know what he's doing. He's exposing his hand. But on the inside, God's working something. And something's gathering. I can feel the wind of the Spirit. It's gathering. And when he releases this body into the earth, Satan won't know what to do. Fling wide, you eternal doors. Here he comes.
Yes!
The King of Glory is ready. I want to tell you, he's ready.
Yes.
He's waiting on you and I.
Amen.
He's waiting for us to wake up.
Amen.
To get outside of ourselves.
Yes.
To see his eternal purposes.
Amen. Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Here he comes.
Yes.
The King of Glory is ready to come in. You ask, who is the King of Glory?
Yes.
He is Yahweh,
yes.
Lord Sovereign,
yes.
God, Lord,
yes.
Sovereign, Almighty God. That's what Yahweh is. He's ready to come in, armed and ready for battle.
Yes.
The Mighty One, the Invincible Commander of Heaven's Host. Yes, he is the King of Glory. I want to tell you, we hear about doors and gateways. Man, Jesus already opened the gate. We have an open heaven. When Jesus prayed at his baptism, it says when he prayed, the heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended. Are you opening portals in heavens? Well, you're a gateway. He's already opened his gateway. He's pierced the veil. He says, come boldly into the throne room of grace in your time of need so that you can receive grace and mercy. We are the portals in this earth.
Yes.
We are God's answer to the situations that are going on in our families and in those realms of influence. And it starts with us. So we have to get free first.
Amen?
Amen. So that we can fling wide.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Fling wide, you everlasting. Aren't you glad that eternal life was put in you when you received Jesus as Lord of your life? I'm now in that stage of being a Joshua and a Caleb. I love that. Caleb was 85 years old. And when God came to Caleb, he says, now it's time for me to take my mountain. I said, oh, good. Doesn't matter what age you are. It's your time to take your mountain, to fling wide your gates, your everlasting doors, the door of your heart. He's knocking. And he's saying, will you fling wide? because he's ready to come in. And he's more than willing. So, Father, I thank you this morning that, Father, we're moving in such a strategic time. We know the year, Father, for those that, Father, have released, Father, the Hebraic year, 5784. And we thank you that the 8 is the voice of God. But now, Father, we're entering in the year of the 4, which is the door, Father, the gateways. And you said in Psalm 24 that we are the gateway or the doorway of eternal. We are the gateway, Father, for, Father, the fullness of Jesus to come into the earth.
Yes.
And now is the time, Father,
yes,
when everything's being shaken. For that that cannot be shaken is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we thank you that you said again and again, awake. You said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm that, Father, we hear the alarms, even, Father, in the natural. As we see the news reports of the alarms that are sounding in natural Israel, there's alarms and sirens that are sounding on the inside of your body right now saying, awake.
Yes.
Wake up. For you stand at the door and you're knocking and you say, swing wide, you everlasting doors, that you might come in. So, Father, we thank you that this is a time of decision. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. And we thank you that, Father, your church is in a valley of decision right now. And we choose as we awaken to the revelation knowledge that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We choose right now to swing wide the doors of our heart. Father, those doors that have been shut in different areas, we swing wide. And we say, come in, King of Glory. Come in, Jesus, in all your fullness. We welcome the fullness of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you are sovereign. Let's just make this declaration together. I'd love to do this and think we need to do it as often as we can. But let's just pray this and declare. Say, Father, I thank you and praise you.
I
acknowledge your sovereignty. That
you are Lord over everything.
You created the heavens and the earth. And everything and everyone belongs to you. I belong to you.
I was
created in your image and likeness. And I believe in my heart. And I now confess Jesus is Lord of my life. I welcome your Lordship into my life. I swing wide the doors of my heart. And I welcome eternal life to fill me to overflowing. I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess him as sovereign. As sovereign authority, supreme authority, over all other authority. And I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead, and that he was buried, and that he ascended into heaven, and that he's coming back again for a church, for a bride without spot and wrinkle. That's me.
That's me.
So I swing wide the doors of my heart. I fling wide.
Yes.
Ooh. And now I welcome as I ask you to fill me again with the fresh baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. I receive the baptism of Holy Spirit again. I drink in rivers of living water until it bubbles over and touches every area of my life. I receive right now the baptism with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. In Jesus' name, Thank you. Thank you for the gift of the Father. We receive it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give them praise. Hallelujah. Now, if you need a healing in your body, just stand up real quick. We're going to pray for healing. He's stretching his hand right now. It doesn't matter if you've received prayer, but just stand up. That's a step of faith, and he honors faith. It's not ashamed. You know, it's not just in your body, but let's pray this first. Anybody else want to stand up and just... The rest of us are going to stretch our hands. And Father, I pray right now, Jesus, stretch your hands right now. And we command healing. I command right now. Spirits of infirmity, come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command right now healing. I command pain to go in Jesus' name. And I release resurrection, life, and power right now into these vessels, into these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. We break the assignment of the enemy to kill, destroy, and steal. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes you are healed. He took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses. And I declare right now, life, resurrection, power right now, flowing from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. I thank you right now, you're breaking generational curses. You're breaking genetic issues right now off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we command, we speak, Father, to cancer. We speak to, Father, blood diseases, diabetes right now, stroke in the name of Jesus. We speak right now to any malfunction in the body. And we declare, Father, and command right now, be healed in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Just receive it. Just say I receive. How do you receive? You say, I receive. I believe. Thank you, Father. You said only believe, and we believe all things are possible. You said all things are possible to them that believe. So I thank you. You're doing the impossible. Thank you, Jesus. Take a minute and just lift your hands and thank him. Thank him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Just receive right now. There's a healing. There's anointing for healing right now. Just receive that healing. Just feel that presence of Holy Spirit just saturating right now, going through your body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I bind right now depression. I bind fear right now. Take authority over fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I break every spirit of fear right now. I break every demonic, Father, spirit of depression and oppression in the name of Jesus. Go. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's just say that together. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Go.
Go.
Healing come.
Healing come.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive my healing.
I receive my healing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Ha ha ha. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, these are different times. I love the how it ends in Psalm 24. Who is the King of Glory? It's Lord of Hosts, Captain of Armies, Supreme over all the other principalities and powers. And the same authority, He's supreme authority. He's now passed on to us all authority in heaven and earth. He says, now you go and you do likewise. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. We swing wide our everlasting doors. Woo. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. Man, what's going on? It's good to be alive. Amen. Hallelujah. You've been born for such a time as this. Shake off all those heavy chains. Amen. Amen. Well, greet two or three people and meet someone you haven't met yet. Tell, you know, meet them. Go in the power of His might and strength in Jesus' name.